lose control.
This is finally the first episode of the Catch the Show podcast. I am your host. Just call me EG. Can keep it anonymous for a while. I don't know why. I just like that idea. You know, the mysterious host with about a face, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm proud. I'm most likely gonna link my social media at the end of this so you can keep up with me in episodes, whatnot. You know, shout out to Hyphen Podcast Group, and, you know, all the people, Murder Mayhem Show, all the people, really got me doing this thing right now. So first off, let me apologize, or let you know in advance. The audio, of course. Right now, I'm working with a phone. You know, as this goes on, we will be trying and experimenting, you know, trial and error with different, you know, techniques, equipment. You know, eventually a mixer, you know, a Zoom, you know, handheld recorder, you know, handheld microphones. And, you know, little things here and there until we can get to that crisp sound that we can maintain for the duration of this show. You know, consistency, of course, is key, but, you know, not everybody can afford consistency at the time, so we will, we're gonna DIY it, as I'd say, because that makes it sound, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It makes it sound more, not professional, because it's kind of somewhat the opposite, but it inspiring, maybe. You know, just sort of like, hey, they don't have all the tools, but they're going to put it together anyway. It may fall apart, but they're going to put it together anyway. Yeah, glue won't work as well as a nail or a bolt, you know, but they're putting together anyway. That's inspiring to some people, you know. So if I can inspire you to put together your coffee table with the glue and rubber bands you have laying around your house, then maybe, just maybe, we're off on the right foot. Or maybe I'm just talking shit, I don't know. But anyways, let's get into what this podcast is actually about. This podcast is solely because I am a man who loves music, of course. We all love music. Some may like it, but we all love music. It's a common part of humans. It's human nature, you know, essentially. And the whole point of this show is basically to do something that I don't see. You see people review music. You see people review albums and new singles, you know, new songs. You see people talk about artists. You know, there's critics, you know, reviewers, whatever. You know, some of you may be familiar on the YouTube of guys like, you know, Anthony Fantano, The Needle Drop, you know, or Spectrum Pulse. You know, one of my favorite guys is a guy by the name of The Rock Critic. You know, and there's another guy by the name of The Rap Critic. You know, and they both are obviously critics of, you know, certain genres of music. And so you see all these album reviewers, all these, you know, just music reviewers, critics, but you don't really see enough concert reviewers. And I mean, I for me personally, I think, my opinion, I think the reason for that is because, of course, to keep up the consistency of being able to review a concert, you know, to have a show to talk about every week or whatever your basis is, whatever your routine schedule is for your show. It's not easy for everybody. And so, for me, the position I am with my job and what I like to do when I'm not working, it's pretty much going to shows. And I have a good almost 10 years worth of tours and shows, concerts I've seen of many different artists, some that I like, some that I don't like. And I have opinions, of course, on those things. And I have experiences of those things, because a concert is more than just a show, it's an experience, you know. So, you know, some people have told me, hey, you should do this, you should do a podcast about, you know, all the shows you've seen, or, you know, you go to concerts so much, why don't you, you know, review them or whatever. And yeah, I've thought about it, but it's always been the main issue of the equipment, you know, the having the right tools to do it properly. Because for me, I love podcasts. I listen to lots of podcasts, you know, whether I'm eating, having breakfast, whether I'm, you know, having lunch, whether I'm, you know, on break at work, you know, whether I'm doing work around the house, you know, I mean, any chance where I can listen to a show for a good, at least an hour, at the most an hour, if not like 30 minutes, it's perfect for me. It's perfect for me, because then, you know, it's entertaining. It's just entertainment. It's pretty much it, you know. But, you know, the sound is always something for me. Today I was just listening to a podcast earlier, and, you know, the clipping of one of the mics was just bothering me, you know. It didn't ruin it for me, but it was bothering me. So that's one of the reasons why I haven't done this show like a couple years ago as I should have. It's just because I was like, I don't have the microphones and whatnot to, you know, give the best crisp audio that casual listener will maybe want to hear. But, you know, I mean, I've heard so many shows, so many podcast shows that with such great topics and such entertaining conversations that don't have the best audio, you know, that are making do with what I'm doing right now with phone, that I was just like, why not? Let me jump into this game, see how it goes, you know. And you know, we're gonna, like I said, it's gonna be trial and error, you know, trying to get the sound right, to where we can keep it up consistently and keep shooting these things out at a good rate, maybe, or just recording down right, editing and whatnot, you know. And apologies in advance for sounds you may hear around. There's someone mowing a lawn outside. I don't know if it's our lawn or not. I think it may be our lawn being mowed at the moment. It's a hot day today, so you may hear this fan in the background. And so, you know, to sort of balance out, if not get away from the sounds, I'm sort of walking, you know, somewhat around my house. So, just giving that little disclaimer, 8 minutes into the damn show, to those who are still hanging with me and want to hear about today's show. So let's, before we get right into it, I've narrowed down the show to a good format, a good formula that I think will work. First we're going to talk about, you know, what's going on in music, because this is pretty much a music show. It's a music based show, music centered show. You know, and then once we've gotten past some of the things going on in music today, we will get into the show of today's, today or tonight, whenever you maybe listen to it, of this episode. So the main thing that's going on in music right now, of course, is this fucking Drake and Pusha T beef. I feel like personally, beef is a bit strong because this feels different. Like, this feels like, I want to say, because we all know Drake. We all know Drake can be emotional at times. I want to say that this isn't so far as beef. Because when I think of beef, of course I think of Biggie and Tupac. You know, I think of 50, Ja Rule, or I think of the beefs that may have been covered on the series Beef, where things went too far, you know. And no, not all rap beefs have gone too far, you know. Some have just stayed on wax. Some of them have just stayed as diss tracks, and that's been it. But you know, when it's just records going back and forth, it's like, yeah, I guess it's beef, you know. But, you know, unless it's like something really serious in between it, you know, there's just like, well, now records have to be done, you know, because this person's done this to this person, and that person has, you know, said this about that person. It's like, you gotta make a track or something. That's when I kind of consider it beef. But this is pretty much beef because, I mean, this has gone on for what, maybe almost 10 years? I don't know. Like, when did Pusha put out that tweet about, or that track? I can't remember. I just remember Lil Wayne putting out the Pusha T tweet about F Pusha and anyone who Fs with him. You know, well, I mean, I'm going to say fuck on this show because it's my show. But, you know. I don't want to get too carried away, but I can't remember how long ago that tweet was. Maybe 2012? Maybe? I'm not sure. So, you know, Pusha's album came out last Friday. Great album. Daytona. It's called Daytona. 7 tracks. All produced by Kanye. It's just Pusha spitting. I know some people had some issues about, you know, with him, you know, doing his casual drug raps. But, I mean, Pusha's one of those guys where he might have one topic or a few topics that he always touches on every project. But he does it so well. He's one of the few rappers that does that topic so well. Touches on it so well. Spits on it so well in so many different ways. That, you know, it's entertaining. He, you know, those are the type of rappers, those are the type of lyricists that people like. Real hip-hop fans like, at least. Real rap fans like, you know. And, you know, he's giving you the bars on top of some Kanye production for 7 songs. It's like 20 minutes. It's a 20-minute album. It's really an EP. But, you know, they say it's an album. It's an album. You know, and it's a pretty damn good album. It's definitely going to be, it's definitely one of my favorites of this year. Definitely one of my favorite rap albums this year. And there's been a good, there's been a good number. There's been a good chunk of rap albums that have come out this year that I've really been replaying a lot. Of course, people are talking about Royce da 5'9"'s album. Me personally, Tech N9ne's album Planet. Murs, if anybody's familiar with the rapper Murs, he put out a really good album that some people that you should check out if you really love just, I don't know, just rap, hip hop. You know, it's not like really boom bappy or any specific subgenre of rap. It's just a good rap album called I think Murs' album is called An Unimaginable Journey into the Strange. Might be off. It's something along that line. But, yeah, I mean, those are just a few of the rap albums I've been really bumping so far into the year. And, you know, Pushes is definitely on that list. So far, top 5. I mean, I've already listened to it like 4 times because it's such a short ass album. I mean, you know, but it, you know, it's I'm conflicted with. I'm conflicted with the beef. Not the album. The album's great. You know, especially we could talk about the Kanye stuff and all that, but I'm not getting into that because that's a whole other conversation, you know. But, you know, great album, big impression, especially, you know, with it being the first of a few albums that Kanye is doing, and apparently they're all going to be 7 tracks long, including Kanye's own, so that should be interesting. In a good way. But the thing here with me, and I have a very complicated relationship with Aubrey Graham. I have a very complicated relationship with Aubrey Graham. Because when Aubrey first came on the scene, for me, it was Jimmy Brooks from Degrassi. Jimmy. I'm like, oh shit, Jimmy's rapping? And I didn't think it would go on even as far as Best I Ever Had becoming the hit. Let alone him being the guy in rap right now. You know. So and again, another conversation when we start getting to Aubrey Graham as Drake, as a rapper, what do I think about him, skill level, all that, blah, 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 that's aside. There's songs I like by him. There's songs I love by him. There's songs I don't care. Right? But, you know, I'm not a Drake fan. I'm not a Drake hater at all. You know, when the new album comes out, I'll listen to it. When Scorpion comes out, I'll definitely listen to it. You know, I've listened to every project Drake has come out with. He's just that guy. He's just that guy, you know? So, I'm already biased in this beef because of Pusha. Because, for me, Friday was Pusha's album's coming out. Daytona's here. Oh my god, it's really good. It's really short. It's awesome. I love it. Let me hear it again. That's great. Wait, what are you guys talking about with Drake? What's a Duppy freestyle? Oh no. Oh shit. That was pretty much my reaction throughout the day, anything revolving around Pusha and Drake. I was just like, whoa. The thing that gets me though, I said on Twitter, the Duppy freestyle, you know, it is what it is. It was a dope freestyle. Well, not dope, I'm sorry. It was a dope diss, you know. And it definitely got Pusha there. But I still felt some way because it's like, dude's album came out today. You know who you are, Aubrey. You know who you are. You know your power. You know where you stand. You know your influence. You waited this long for this move. So that's such a dirty move to drop that this hours within the same day. Hours after Pusha's album dropped. Like, that's a pretty dirty move, man. I kind of respect it, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, the fuck? Like, you would hate that if that happened to you, but I mean, it's a dirty game, you know. And, you know, there's no, you know, there's no love in it, I guess. When you know, if you're going to diss somebody, you might as well be disrespectful with. I mean, this, you know. So, you know, even though I definitely was with everyone that he got pushed with Duppy Freestyle, I still still felt some type of way just because of the way he released it. You know. But this week, Pusha came back with the story of Adidon, I believe. That's what we're going with. And, wow, Drizzy was talking about an invoice. Push is talking about an alleged child that Drizzy does not want to take care of. Push got back. I mean, it, from also what it sounds like, Push has got more waiting for him. So, yeah. If I had to pick a side, I'm with Pusha T, just because, I mean, I've been a fan of Pusha T longer than I've been a fan of Drake, and as I said, I'm not really a Drake fan or a Drake hater. So, I'm in the middle. That's me. Yeah. We will see as this goes on. If this does go on. I mean, for all we know, we could be dead. They could both probably just be like, hey, both took our shots. Let's just move on. Let's go our separate ways and focus on ourselves, our own careers. Or Drake could try some shit and Pusha can throw out another one of these missiles he's got. He's got, I guess, supposedly laying around for him. I don't know. We'll see. Aside from that, ASAP Rocky released a new album, Testing. His first album, first new album in, when was it? I want to say 2 or 3 years. I remember All Love ASAP. I can't remember what the hell the album's called. At Long Last ASAP, my bad. At Long Last ASAP came out, I think it was in 2016. It was 2016 or 2015, maybe? Can't remember. 2015, I believe. It was 2015, I think. Yeah, and I thought it was good. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I thought it was very different in a good way. And I feel the same with this album, even though a lot of people are kind of giving it a hard time. They're giving Rocky Bill a hard time with this album. But I think he did a pretty good job. You know, I mean, the thing with Rocky and ASAP Mob is they've always had this odd feeling for me because they came out like when Future was really making some noise, you know, and they really did something for the game with fashion. I think that's something that a lot of people don't really give them their credit on. You know, that one of the things is they came in the game and they really did something with fashion because, you know, so many of the dudes in that ASAP Mob have really made a mark in the fashion world. I think ASAP, I think it's Ills is his name. Ferg for sure. Rocky probably being the most, most obvious one. You know, and then just sort of the New York adoption of the Southern sound in rap, the Southern trap kind of sound. You know, I mean, that was sort of a thing when they first came out. Everybody was just like, huh, they really got that South sound kind of down. That Rocky and the ASAP Mob dudes. And, you know, so, you know, I haven't been super big on them, but I've always sort of been just paying attention to them because I just liked what they represented, I guess. Especially as, you know, New York rappers. A New York crew, you know, but I think along with a lot of people, it's kind of felt like, you know, they'll give you a few really good songs here, you know, more so it's been Ferg, I guess, a lot of people for then, you know, their whole crew, but they give you, some good songs here and there, and then, you know, they either don't really deliver on the projects, or I don't know. Because the ASAP Mob Cozy tapes have just kind of been okay. So, I don't know. You know, but all I know is that this project, this testing project, is pretty good. I like the versatility on it. I like the variety sound-wise, you know. I mean, Rocky already had me with the, you know, the ASAP Forever track, you know, and the Moby sample on it. Not even really much of a Moby sample. It just sort of really put that song in there. But I've really been digging testing. I suggest you give that a listen along with Daytona. And to my juggalos out there, as we know, ICP signed Ouija Mac last year. It's a new artist signed to Insane Clown Posse's record label. And a lot of eyes have been on him because he's bringing a new sound that hasn't really been associated with, you know, ICP, Little Juggalos. So, you know, the eyes were on him just to see what we were dealing with, you know, what's to come. And his album Gutter Water so far has been very well received, and rightfully so, because the shit, it bangs. It bangs, or it slaps, as the children are saying. It's a slapper. Some heater. Some heat. No, it's a dope-ass sound. It is. You know, few songs we can do without. And more pertaining to the one with ICP on it. Because it's a trap type album. It's a trap rap type album. And, you know, it's authentic as fuck. You know, it doesn't sound like somebody trying to replicate a sound. Like, no, it's a legit trap rap album for, I guess, juggalos. I don't know, it's weird to say. It's weird to say in 2018. That's where, you know, that's what juggalos are now. Listen to, we're actually evolving with era of music. It's dope, though. It's dope, though. But that's a whole other discussion for you later. This show is about concerts. It is. And so, let's get into the concert at hand. So, I have a format here. We're going to break down. You know, the concert we have here at hand, or the tour. Let's talk about the tour first. The show. But let me get my head straight first. Water. Okay. So, we are talking about Flatbush Zombies 2018 CU in Hell tour now. Flatbush Zombies, they are a three-piece rap group from the Flatbush area of Brooklyn, New York. You know, the members are Michi Darko, Zombie Juice, and Eric Arc Elliott, a.k.a. Sometimes referred to as Eric the Architect. He's also the producer for the group. They're part of a movement that kind of came after, I would say after, or maybe was bubbling during, you know, ASAP Mob's rise of notoriety. But they're part of a collective called Beast Coast, which is them, rap duo under the Underachievers, and another New York collective, Pro Air, which is a bunch of MCs, late Capital Steve, Nick Caution, and Kirk Knight, two guys who were at this show, we'll get into. And, of course, the most popular artist to come from all this is Joey Badass, who is one of my favorite rappers of today, easily. So, I got into Flatbush Zombies around somewhere between 2012 and 2013, I want to say. Their first project, their mixtape called Drugs, and I'm trying to remember, what did it stand for? It stood for something, because it's initial, Drugs. What was it? Death and Reincarnation Under God's Supervision, yeah. It was the first project, it was my first introduction to these dudes. And I was originally just like, okay, it's a rap group. At the time, there were very little rap groups. There were collectives, but there were very little rap groups. And Mellow Hype from Odd Future were one. Pac Div, they were an LA-based rap group who also put out a project this year that's really good, called First Baptist. Check that out if you want, if you remember them and you know, kind of interested to hear what they're doing today. And then there was, I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but that's besides the point. But there was Flatbush Zombies and the Underachievers. You know, there was very little rap groups back around that were really that known back in around like 2012 era. So when I came across these guys, I was just like, huh, this is interesting. Okay, finally we got a new rap group out here. It's kind of making some noise. These dudes are they're pretty interesting. You know, they got colored hair, grills, tatted, and they're mostly just rapping about drugs. You know, I mean, they touch on many different topics, but at the time, the most thing that would grab to me was, okay, drugs, sound is dark, kind of trippy at times, but I dig it, because these guys can actually rap. Fast forward to 2013, they come out with another mixtape called Better Off Dead. You know, and on this project was the track that pretty much made me very interested in these guys. Almost a fan, not completely yet. It's a track called, I think, Maraz, or just MRAZ. And the beat and just the way they're spinning on it was enough for me to be like, okay, I want to hear more from these guys. The project Better Off Dead is easily one of their best projects yet. But that was pretty much where I would say the fandom start for me, where I slowly became a fan of these guys. It wasn't until their first album, their debut album, 2001, A Laced Odyssey, where I was just like, yeah, I'm in it, guys. I'm sold. I'm with you guys, 100%. Just the cover of that album alone is, that was enough for me to be like, yeah, I like these guys. I like where their head's at. The cover of that album is just so, go look up the cover. If you're listening to this, take your time and go look up Flatbush Zombies album cover to 3001, A Laced Odyssey. It's done by David Nakayama. I think that's how you say his name. He's a comic book artist. He's done a lot of stuff for Marvel Adventures, Deadpool, Big Hero 6. You know, but that album cover, and I still regret not having that album on vinyl. Because damn, I would love to have that on vinyl just for that album cover. But man, yeah. Project's good. Project was good. It's not amazing, but the project, you know, the album was good enough for me to be like, yeah, I like what these guys are doing, especially with the album cover. And then, you know, we go on to, you know, fast forward to today. Vacation Hell. Their second album. It's come out about a month ago, I want to say. Close to. And, you know, it's a long album, but you're bound to find a good chunk to like that will make you keep coming back to it. You know, I haven't listened to it a lot. It's one of my favorite albums, rap albums I've heard this year. It's on the list for sure. And that aside, the word with these guys has always been they put on a great show. And the tour for the last album, I missed. So I knew I had to hit up the tour for this album, regardless if I liked it or not. I bought tickets as soon as they went on sale, before the album came out, before I even heard this new album. I was just like, I don't care if I like it or not, I just gotta see these guys live, because I've seen videos of them at festivals and just how crazy they get European crowds going. I'm like, I gotta see for myself what these guys are working with. So that's how we end up here talking about the See You in Hell tour by Flatbush Zombies, featuring special guests Nick Caution and Kirk Knight of Pro Era. So first, let's talk about getting there. First off, I had to put, what you wear to a show for me is, it's almost half the battle. You know, it's almost half the battle. It's like, I don't know, it's sometimes you really shouldn't give a damn about what you're wearing to a show, it's because you're not performing. You're just there to have a good time. But I guess, like, sometimes the vibe to a show is similar to a party. Or, like, the best party you can go to. You know what I mean? The best club experience you can have, you know? Even if you don't like clubs. Sometimes a concert can give you that vibe. So I guess I get, you know, I kind of get the dressing up, you know, the appearance factor into going to a show. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't fly with that whole don't wear the t-shirt of the band you're going to see at the show. Dude, I don't give a damn. I don't. I used to hear that a lot until I saw it a lot. You know, I went to a Primus show, my first Primus show, almost 5 years ago, maybe. I don't know, man. And, you know, I wasn't wearing a Primus shirt because I didn't own a Primus shirt at the time until after that show. But, you know, I'm in line and I'm, you know, of course, at the time I knew about that saying or whatever. But I'm in line behind, like, 20 Primus shirts from different tours over the years. And maybe somebody else will look at that and be like, really, you're wearing the shirt? But me, I was like, no. I was like, oh, that's cool. Huh, I gotta get me a shirt so I can rock it to the next Primus show. Which I did. Which I do. I rock a shirt, you know, I went and saw Les Claypool and Sean Lennon a few years later wearing the Primus shirt I got from that Primus show. Because I give no fucks about that, don't wear the shirt of the band you're going to see. Who cares? And the reason I bring that up is because I bought a Flatbush Zombies shirt a year or so ago, because Flatbush Zombies, their merch game is just dope as hell. Every 420, well, not every 420, but 420 of random days, they will release a new tie-dye shirt, limited edition, for people to rock. And, you know, tie-dye shirts have sort of became their thing, and just their overall art and design is always on point. So that's another thing that made me a fan with them, is just because their merch game and their brand and art is very, it's very on point. And, you know, One of them, Eric Arc Elliott, the producer of the group, and he raps as well. He's an artist as well. I've seen interviews with them. They're really cool. I mean, one of the things that I love about them is that they're very relatable, you know, in the sense of, you know, they love wrestling. You know, I'm a big wrestling fan. You know, they have varied taste. They don't just love rap. You know, they love rock and pop and other stuff, you know, and I'll get into that later on as I talk about the show. You know, but also Eric Arc Elliott, he does art. And I've seen interviews where they talk about all these things, and he's drawing, and he shows his artwork, and it's, you know, it's pretty cool. You know, that's what's gotten me deeper in with these guys, is that they're more than just a rap group. Like, these are one of the few rappers that say they're artists and actually mean it. Like, they're literally, they're artists. They have more to them than just we rap. And so that's one of the things I loved, is their brand. So I bought a t-shirt from them, a green tie-dye shirt from them about a year or so ago, maybe more, I can't remember, maybe 2 years ago. And of course, that's what I'm wearing to my first Flatbush Zombie show. And you know, I take the train there, I'm on the way there, I'm bumping the album, I'm bumping the last album. You know, I'm listening to a little bit of Nick at Night, which is an EP Nick Caution and Kirk Knight did together there, because they're going to be at the show, they're going to perform at the show, they're opening. You know, and I'm listening to it, and when I'm on the train, I'm heading down towards the venue. And, you know, as I'm walking towards the venue, I start seeing people walking down the street wearing tie-dye shirts. You know, and the closer I get to the venue, the more tie-dye shirts I see. And fast forward to when I'm in the venue, and there's almost a sea of tie-dye Flatbush Zombies shirts. So, you know, now I know what I'm working with. Now, that's when I say to anybody who says, oh, you don't wear the shirt of the artist you're going to see to the show, I tell you, kick rocks with that dude. That doesn't apply to everybody here. Okay? So, you know, I that's one of the things that I liked, you know, is seeing. And that's the thing where we'll get into with the crowd. Because I have a little grading system here that, turn on the light here. It's dark. It's getting dark out here. But that's one of the things, too, is the crowd. The crowd was very cool. Because the crowd was a very mixed crowd. Some black, some Hispanic, some Asian. Good portion of white, you know, but that's neither here or there. You know, I mean, it's a good mixed crowd. There's a lot of people. Apparently, it was sold out, but, you know, it felt a lot more fluid. I've been to sold out shows at this venue before. And, you know, sometimes it's been so tight that it's just like, I can't find a good spot here. But this time, it was good enough where I could navigate around, you know, because it's a seatless venue. So you can sit almost anywhere. You can sit almost anywhere. And, you know, it was a pretty good crowd. So, you know, I'm going to grade all these, like, A's, B's, you know, F's or whatever. These little things here on my system. So the crowd, for me, gets an A. They're really cool. There's no problems. You know, I mean, when the artist wanted them to turn up, they turned up. You know, there's crowd surfing going on. There was moshing going on. When the artist said jump, they were jumping. You know, like, it was a good time at. And part of that is because of the crowd. So the crowd gets an A. Or the venue. Venue gets an A automatically because this is a venue I've been going to for the last 3 or 4 years. It's my favorite venue. It's the Fillmore. Won't tell you which one. I know there's a line of them around the country. But I really love this venue. Yeah. I just went to another show last night at the venue, and same thing. I've never had a problem with this venue. The staff, they're very cool. They don't seem like they love their job, but they definitely don't seem like they hate it. They're just cool. They know, it's like they know the setting. They're not bothering people. It was a cool show. It's a cool show because it was in the right place. So that's one thing. And the vibe. So crowd and the venue get A. The vibe, it's just cool. Another A. You know, I know it's the first episode. I'm throwing A's out already, but bear with me. Everything was cool. There's no reason to get nitpicky. I mean, it was just a cool experience you want to have at a rap show, of course. So that's the one thing. Now, let's get to the actual show. Opening acts. Opening acts. First person that went up was Nick Caution. Now he comes out and he actually does a. He did like a. I believe it, maybe it was kind of like a freestyle. I don't know. But he just came out and started rapping over Triple XXXTentacion's "Look at Me" beat. You know, crowd gets amped for it, of course. Nick Caution just killed it. I'm just gonna lay it out like that for you. He just flat out killed it. You know, great opener. Check out the track off the Nick at Night. It's spelled different because Nick is spelled N-Y-C-K. Night is spelled like a knight in shining armor with a K. Nick at Night. It's a joint EP that Nick Caution, Kirk Knight of Pro Era, they did together. Check out the track called Perfect Murder by Nick Caution. I love that shit. He killed it. When he did that track, the bass in the building, when he goes, "It's a perfect murder, it's a perfect murder, it's a perfect murder, it's a perfect murder," just that beat, when the beat starts picking up, I tell you, go listen to the song. When that bass, when those drums start picking up, imagine just that 3 times louder. In a room full of people, and all of you are just getting hyped to it. Just try to visualize. I know it's not the easiest thing sometimes to relate, but I don't know. I love that part. He killed that for me. Kirk Knight came out right afterwards. I felt like Kirk's set was maybe a little longer, but wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. You know, wasn't bad. I think I enjoyed Nick's a little more. You know, Kirk didn't do anything bad. He didn't, you know, he didn't fail at all. I mean, these guys are pros. I could make a pro era pun. I'm not that low. But yeah, I got they Kirk did all right. Did all right. I will say though, he did this track called 5 Minutes. Again, great track. Kirk is production wise, Kirk is just a better producer than me. I mean, he can spit, don't get me wrong, but just his beats, oh man, him and Eric Argelia are two of my favorite producers out right now. You know, I want to say he produced that Perfect Murder track for Nick too. I don't know, but just a lot of his music just sounded great in that area. That night, in that venue. Like, it was just. It set the perfect vibe for the show. That's what I'm basically trying to say. You know. But I will say, I am a bit disappointed in one thing with the opening acts. And this is where I give them a B for. Because they did maybe 1 or 2 songs off that Nick at Night EP. And I'm thinking, okay, you put Nick Caution and you put Kirk Knight as the openers of this tour. Well, then they're going to do some... It's Nick at Night, basically. They're doing that project. You know, of course, they're going to do their solo stuff. But they're going to do... They're going to do some... A good portion of songs off that EP, right? And, no. No, not really. Like, I think Kirk brought Nick out for one song off the EP. I can't remember which one it was. And that was about it. So I was a bit let down by that. I mean, I think total they did do a few songs off the EP. You know, I mean, Nick did Perfect Murder. You know, he did Audio Opium at the end of his set because somebody, you know, some people were yelling it out for him to do. You know, but he did like just his verse and that was it. He ran off. You know. But yeah, and then Kirk brought Nick out during his set and they did. What track was it? They did, like I said, I can't even remember what track they did. I mean, they did very little Nick at Night. That was my one issue with it. But other than that, I think they both did good. That's why I give them a B and not a C or D or anything like that. I give them a B because they were both really good, but I was a bit disappointed that they didn't do more Nick at Night. Yeah. Because it felt like they would have killed it together. And they were kind of killing it together in that one song, but just... It thought it was going to go on longer, but it ended abruptly, you know. So, it's time for Flatbush Zombies to go on. And now, here's the thing I didn't mention up front. Because I've been a little scatterbrained, which I apologize for those listening. But, one of the things for me, man, is when I walk into the venue, you gotta have your merch game popping. You gotta have your merch game just on deck. You know, I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many shows I've been to where it's an artist I really respect, someone I really like. I'm just like, I can't wait to see this. And I walk into the building, I walk into the venue, and your merch game is very sick. And I don't mean a good sick, I mean like it's ill. And I don't mean a good ill, I mean it's, you know, it's not looking too good. You know? Mac Miller. 3 t-shirts. You selling 3 t-shirts. Three almost plain white t-shirts. Really? Absol. You selling merchandise I'm already wearing at the show. You sound like two things. Two things in the CD. It's like, come on. What are you doing here? You know? I mean, I've gone to some shows where the artist is not even selling merch at all. It's just like, hey, you're here. This is enough, right? Yeah, I guess, but let me give you some more of my money if I like you. What's... Come on now. You know? Like, I... You know, I guess not everyone is... finds the merch to be as important. But you know, I hear some artists and they talk about the merch is it's a good chunk of the income. So you know, it's a good chunk of the money they make at shows. So you know, when the merch game isn't really looking too well at certain shows, I'm just like, come on. Like, Do you really want it? Do you really want my money? Or do you feel like you already got me? You know. But for this show, that's not the case. Because Flatbush Zombies, they had their shit down. You know. Now, I will say, price-wise, that's a different story. I mean, I don't know how expensive it is to make tie-dye shirts, but, you know, the one I got, I still find $40 to be a bit much, if you ask me. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, merch game was good. Set game is another thing, you know? Again, can't tell you how many shows I've been to where not only was the merch game very ill in the sense of, you know, we need to get this merch some vitamins to get stuff together or something. You know, this merch needs some milk. get this merch some milk. But the set game is poor as well, where it's just like you really put in a foldable table on the stage for the DJ. His turntables, right? That's it. Like, the curtains are still down from the last show that was here. You're really not gonna, you really got nothing. You don't even have like a poster or something you can hang up to make this look a little more professional. I don't know. But again, that was not the case with this Flatbush Zombie show. I come in, let me set this up for you. I come in to the venue. I walk up the steps, I go to the second balcony. It's my favorite view because I'm a tall dude, and at the second balcony, I can get a good view of everything. I go up to the second balcony, and, you know, I see a lot of things on stage that are covered with black cloth, but it's enough to give me an idea of like, okay, some money was thrown into this production. I appreciate that. But when we go back to where it's time for the Flatbush Zombies to go on stage, now this is where it's different. Because the black cloths come off. And what we're now seeing on stage is a cemetery gate. You know? What looks like the back of a van, I would say, with a tail, with a license plate that says Hell O, because that's the first track on their Vacation in Hell album, with wheels on the side and everything. And this is the DJ booth. This what looks like half of a rusty 70s minivan is the DJ booth. And surrounding this little minivan, there are two coffins. And I believe three tombstones for each member of Flatbush Zombies. And two TVs. Two old 60s looking television sets. Box sets. One on one side of the stage, the other one on the other side of the stage. And I remember, I believe it was Nas's If I Rule the World playing as the smoke machine started to release throughout the stage. Started to fill the stage up with smoke. The two TVs come on. It's playing like this weird commercial, weird tropical kind of commercial saying, see you in hell, you know. And that's the funny thing. These two TV sets, they're part of the show, but they're no big deal. Like, it's not like something was playing over the house speakers that we could hear from the TV set. No, they're just playing. So if you're front row and you're in front of that TV set, that's just another thing for you to look at while the show's going on. I like that shit. That is some far deep thinking prop stage production shit. It's like, we're just gonna have a TV on stage. No, we're gonna have two TVs on stage playing nothing that will interest you during this show. Other than letting you know that you are at this show, the See You in Hell tour. I like that shit. On top of that, you know, all these caskets, all these tombstones, you know, and lights go off. The smoke machine is spraying across the whole stage. And they start playing, Johnny Cash, I don't know, forgive me for not knowing the song exactly, but Ain't No Grave Can Keep My Body Down. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, you're very familiar with it. They're wrestling fans. I think they're the same reason that they're familiar with it is why you should be familiar with it, if you're a wrestling fan as well. But yeah. So they're setting up a hell of an intro right there with playing the Johnny Cash song. You know, it's dark. There's a sound of a storm brewing. You know, thunder crackling in the background while the song is playing. Smoke is filling up the stage at this point. And a third casket is being rolled out by two dudes in black to the middle of the stage. So now everybody's getting a good idea what's about to happen. When the Johnny Cash song goes off, the storm is still, you hear the storm still thundering through the speakers. And the first few notes of Hello off the Vacation in Hell album start playing. And the crowd gets hyped as hell. And verse by verse, each member comes out of each coffin, turnt. Just turnt as fuck. You know, and they're just, I can't tell you enough how the atmosphere, how the vibe, how the energy of the crowd went from literally 0 to 100 as soon as one of those caskets, the doors busted open. As soon as that song ended, here's another thing I really appreciate. It went right into the very next song that's on the album. So they pretty much played the first two songs of the album back to back, as you would hear when you listen to the album. Again, it's Vacation Hell by Flatbush Zombies. iTunes, Spotify, go check it out. They go right into that song, and I'll never forget the in sync togetherness of the crowd and member Michi Darko of Flatbush Zombies going, "I need a vacation," out loud. It's on my Instagram, Ghost Dog Bushido. Check it out if you can find it on there. But yeah, and that was just the beginning of the show. These guys, their energy was through the roof. It was a very high-packed energy show, and that's the thing I gotta give these guys. Their performance levels are through goddamn roof. I mean, energy. These dudes have massive energy. Right after those two songs, they went to some of the songs from the first album, like Bounce. It's a really good song. And, I mean, just really good pacing. The set list was pretty good. Went very smooth. You know, smooth even for like the really hype songs. It's just like, okay, they put a really good hype song, really good high energy upbeat song right after that one. You know, and they put the really mid-tempo songs at the right point to go into one of my favorite parts probably of the show is a moment in the middle of the show where they kind of slow things down and each member sort of has the stage to themselves. They play a certain song for each one to go up to the middle of the stage and then go into a song on the album that's pretty much just that member's song. I remember Michi Darko's song was Facts. It's a song that features Jada Kiss. It's one of my favorite songs off the album. I can't remember what his walk-up music was. I want to say maybe it was something by Tupac or DMX. I can't remember. I don't remember what Zombie Juice's was either. Zombie Juice, he went up right after Michi Darko. I remember, I think he did a song Lava that's not on the album. And then he did Leather Symphony, which is a song he has with ASAP 12, I think, that's on the album. My favorite moment, though, of this little part of the show is Eric Arc Elliott, who I was talking about before. He's the producer of the group. He raps well in the group. He does his little art and whatnot. He's sort of the one that I really dig because he's very different, you know. Very different in the sense of he doesn't. I've already said all that. But the thing that I loved was that he comes up to Kids with Guns by Gorillaz. He walks up to the stage in Kids with Guns by Gorillaz, and the song he does is Proxies, which is another one of my favorite songs off the album. You know, and right before I was leaving, he took time to say, to speak out to everybody, really say some inspirational words, saying, to anybody that's in the crowd, that's making music, I used to be just like you. You can do this as well. Something you may have heard before at a show, but it's true. It's certain things that make those people different from the rest. But I digged him doing that. And I liked his part of Set More, and he's becoming slowly my favorite member because he's just a little more relatable than the other two. They're all relatable, but just he seems very introspective. He seems very more of an individual. I don't know what I'm saying. Who cares? The other best part of this show was at the end of this little segment, they randomly played Toxicity by System of a Down and just went nuts. I think, if I remember correctly, Zombie Juice had, I don't know if they were beers or if they were water, but he, of course, did the Stone Cold. He did the Stone Cold clanking of the bottle of the two drinks to the crowd with whatever water or beer he had in his hand to Toxicity by System of a Down. I'm not gonna forget that moment, that image, because that was just it was just out of nowhere. It was just like, let us stop the show at this moment to lose our shits on you. A couple minutes later, after Michi Darko stage dove into the crowd during the song Ace Bath Salts that they have with ASAP Mob, he stage dives into the crowd and stands straight up for like a good few seconds, stands straight up in the crowd. It's something I tried to catch on my phone, but he fell back down to the crowd just as soon as he went up almost. But it's hitting a certain time. I had to jump back to the trains before they close, and I left with my $40 tie-dye Flatbush Zombie shirt in hand. Leaving the show very pleased with what I got. So the venue, my grading system, the venue, building staff, bar, etc., everything was pretty common, as I like this venue a lot. It's my favorite venue. So it's an A. Atmosphere, A. Crowd, A. Opening act's B, but the main act is an A. And the opening act, of course, I give a B because they didn't do a few songs. It's a personal thing, but they didn't do some songs I wanted to hear. That's about it. A minus, really, but B. Just shake it up. And the overall experience, I give an A. So, that all rounds up to an A, pretty much. Maybe an A minus, I don't know, because of the B. But an A. Which, for me, rating-wise, I have a rating that I will be using for these shows that I talk about. I won't say a show was not good. I just won't. Unless I just have no choice. That I feel like I want my money back. I won't, but a bad show gets a not for me. An average show gets a, it was alright. Show that wasn't bad, but wasn't that good. Wasn't offensive, wasn't thing to complain about. Something that you might still tell a friend. That's what you do. I'll tell a friend about it. A good show is one where it's like, I can't wait to see the next tour. I can't wait till you guys come back to town. I want to see you on the next tour. You guys do. But a great show is to catch the next show. This show, I feel like I would want to see them. I'm definitely going to want to see them on the next tour. So they get to see you next tour. It's a really good show. It's close to a catch the next show, but I honestly wouldn't do that because money. Even if I had the money, I wouldn't. You know, but you know, I feel like I didn't know exactly what to expect. But I would definitely want to see what they're going to do on the next tour. So definitely, this is a good show. I'm giving it a see you next tour. Because I definitely want to see what they do to top this tour. This is a pretty good tour. If you're familiar with Flatbush Zombies, and you're not familiar with their stage game, what they do live, if you have the money, if you have the chance to go see them on this tour, the See You in Hell tour, go do it. Any show that they do in your area, take the chance to go see them. I think you'll really enjoy it if you're a fan of just rap. If you just get down with rap today. You know, I know there's a whole old heads and, you know, mumble rap and all that crap. But, you know, these guys, they're different. They're doing something different. Check out their music. The Vacation Hell album that the tour was in support of. And yeah, man, that's about it. That's about it. So that's episode one here with Catch the Show. I think I'm pretty sure I know what episode two is going to be. I pretty much just got done seeing my topic for episode two the other night. So, you know, we're gonna talk about that soon. But yeah, follow me on Twitter at Ghost Doggy Dog. It's GhostDawgyDawg. That's also my Snapchat name. You can find me on Instagram, and you can find some of the videos from this show on my Instagram. It's Ghost Dog Bushido. That's GhostDawgBushido. Ghost Dog Bushido. Find me on there. And I'm going to catch you guys next time for another episode where I talk about catching the show here on Catch the Show. Y'all have a good one, and go out, go support some artists. Go see them at some shows, man. Go see them. And have a good time. That's what it's all about. It's fun. Talk to y'all later. Peace.